Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Fizzly on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We were joined for the first segment and for this segment by Shay Chatria. He's a director of Canadian Strategies with Russell Investments. And Shay, in the first segment, we were talking a little bit about sort of the setup, the crazy quarter we had last quarter, the good quarter we had this quarter, and some of the things we got to keep our eye on going forward. So let's talk about the rest of 2019 into 2020. Lots of press headlines about pending recession and so on and so forth. Let's maybe set the rest of this year up with some key assumptions. So we know what we got to keep our eye on in terms of problems. Maybe outline for us what we think the probabilities are of certain things happening, and then we can talk about how to position given whatever those assumptions may be.
Sure. So I think you touch on a pretty hot button topic these days in the financial press and, yep. and the markets is the recession, right? So I think maybe we should start right there in terms of what our base case view is for a recession and is that likely to occur in 2019. So our view is that 2019, the odds for a recession have been incrementally increasing over the last 12 months or so. We've been saying that we are in a late cycle, so part of the volatility that we've seen is a reflection of the market cycle being rather late.
Right.
But is the cycle over yet? We don't think so. So the reason why we don't think 2019 is unlikely to be a recession is for a few things. One is, of course, we talked about the central bankers, the Fed in particular, Federal Reserve, pausing. That's allowing for some of the tension to ease as interest rates have come actually significantly lower over the last month or so.
Yep.
So I think that eases financial conditions. And we talked about trade tensions, and then we talked about how that is a key watch point. And there are some, nascent signs that there will be some resolution that will be, coming hopefully sooner rather than later between U.S. and China. And that will likely take one huge cloud that was affecting the global financial markets, and put it to the side for the moment. So lower yields, easing trade tensions. The Chinese stimulus is, I think, another key story that ties into the picture. And we're starting to see, one thing we know is China has reduced their pace of growth to 6% is their target growth. And as we know, they'll do pretty much whatever it takes to ensure that they hit that target. And mm-hmm. we're starting to see the stimulus actually reflected in credit data. So stabilizing China and potentially the stimulus coming through will be positive. And we're also seeing, early signs that the European growth, which had taken a back seat in 2018, starting to stabilize and look a little bit better. So we do think for those reasons, the global economy is going through a bit of a soft patch. It's still late. We don't expect robust growth by any means, but we don't expect the recession either. So we'd still say that's a lower probability. We think that the probability of a recession starts to increase as you go into the 2020 time horizon. Mid to late 2020 is still our central case, but that's not to say that volatility is now over. We think
right.
that late cycle means that you have to expect heightened volatility, and that will likely stay with us. So expect volatility to continue, perhaps not recessionary type of downturn in the economy, but the growth will be soft nonetheless. And 2020 is where we would want to be a little bit more vigilant in terms of the economic data.
Okay. Can we narrow it down to Canada as well? We get lots of questions about the Canadian economy itself. We had some weak data and some surprising strong data just late last week. So maybe just give us your take on the Canadian economy.
Yeah, I think you made a good point. It was a bit of a refresher to have a week of actually decent economic data coming out of Canada for all the naysayers that have been out there. But the point is that, so I think the big point to make reference of is, of course, the January GDP data was much stronger and pretty broad-based. So that was welcome to see for sure. And although it was broad-based, sectors that we still saw some weaknesses were twofold, and I think this gets into the broader view on the Canadian economy. We did see the resource sector still hold back economic growth in January, as well as retail sales.
Right.
And the retail sales, is in part and parcel a reflection of the decelerating trend that we've been seeing in the housing market. So therein lies a problem for the Canadian economy and why we would, you know, we're expecting GDP growth for 2019 to come in around 1 to 1.5%, probably trending closer to the 1 than the 1.5 right now, is in part because of the challenges on the resource side, but as well as consumption trends have been slowing, and as well as the housing market has been slowing. And those will be two critical headwinds. And unless we see a significant pickup in business investment, we think that the Canadian economy won't be recessionary, as we talk about. We do believe that it'll grow, but it'll be below trend growth, if you will, for 2019. And again, if the U.S. economy, we say, is potentially recession-like in the back half of 2020, and that's our largest trading partner, and there's no way that the Canadian economy can, that we believe would escape a recession if the U.S. economy, of course, is headed into a recession. So we do think that there's a lot of concerns out there for the Canadian economy. Again, similar to the U.S., probably a little bit more downside risk in Canada relative to the U.S. in part because our housing situation and the challenges that we have on the resource side, but no recession. But 2020, again, similar to the U.S. stories where we get a little bit more concerned on the outlook there.
Shay, I'm going to jump in here and ask you now, how would you position a portfolio, people who are transitioning or living in retirement? They need growth still. So how would you position a portfolio with everything you talked about from an economic backdrop in globally and here in Canada?
Yeah, and this is where it gets a little bit more challenging, right? Because we are, as I indicated, late in the cycle, right? And you can consider that you know, a lot of the easy money has been made, so to speak, and things will get a little bit more choppy, a little bit more volatile over the next 1 to 3 years or so. So therefore, one thing I think, you know, we can't do is get complacent get overreach for yield or overstretch for returns. I think the later you get in the cycle, the margin of safety becomes much more critical to consider, and the margin of safety is actually eroding as we get further and further into the cycle. So we do believe having, first off, you know, depending on your risk tolerance, you need to have a balance, a property diversified balance portfolio is key, where you still need not only equities, but you definitely need the ballast and the offset that comes from bonds. I think case in point is in 2018, we had Canadian equities were down, Canadian bonds were positive, slightly, but positive, right? So you need that offset. And we saw that again more recently as tensions sort of mounted over the last month or so, we saw how bonds have been doing well. So although fixed income has some challenges, if you think more longer term, 3, 5, 10 years, because of the low yielding environment. But the fact is that you still need fixed income, so to be there as a ballast. So you still need some bonds, but at the same time, you need to have some growth in the portfolio, because no one has a crystal ball. As much as, you know, we talk about what our projections are, no one knows precisely what will happen. You could have growth continuing. Maybe the cycle gets extended further. You know, God knows this has already been a rather unusual and long cycle, defying most people. So there's no reason it could continue a little bit longer than we expect. So therefore, there could be a little bit more runway.
So, Shay, are you saying that we should be overweight, meaning 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market? Like, do you have any numbers?
Sort of a base case.
I'm trying to get you to say some numbers for me, my friend.
No problem. So you know what? And again, that will vary based on the individual investor's risk profile, of course. But let's just split it. I guess the best way to kind of illustrate the way we're positioned is to talk about the way we're positioned in our portfolios, in our multi-asset growth and income strategy, which is the neutral point would be 50-50, right? And it's obviously diverse 50% fixed income, but diversified within various fixed income, 50% equity, but diversified across various equity. So we believe we're late cycle. We think there's going to be volatility. So first and foremost, we want to have a little bit of a defensive bias to our overall asset allocation. So therefore, we do have a little bit of cash in our portfolios. We have about, you know, call it around 3 to 5% that we're holding in cash. We still have fixed income in our portfolios, but we've actually have a slight underweight towards our core fixed, and we have a slight overweight to what we call our absolute return fixed income strategy. And that's, again, to help sort of navigate through the interest rate volatility that we're seeing right now, as we are in the late cycle. So we still have you know, fixed income, but the preference in terms of the exposure to fixed income is more on the unconstrained side, where we're slightly overweight, about 2 to 3%. Within equities, the preference, the modest preference has been towards, and so on balance, we have a defensive bias coming from the as a result of the cash. And within equities, to be honest, we're broadly neutral. Where we do have a preference is towards our global infrastructure strategy. And the reason there is that infrastructure, we believe, is a more defensive equity asset class. So in periods of heightened economic uncertainty and stock market volatility, that's an asset class that tends to hold up a little bit better. So in so much as you can't abandon your equity exposure and you need some equities in your portfolio, we believe, being in the late cycle that we are, that having some an overweight towards our infrastructure strategy makes sense. So we're currently about 1 to 2% overweight our infrastructure strategy.
That's great, Shane. We do have to get going, unfortunately. We do have to end it there. I want to thank you so much. Defense was the message. We got that. Yep. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. We've been joined by Shay Chitree. He's the director of Canadian Strategies, Russell Investments. And let's wrap up this segment, my friend, with just a quick mention of our upcoming seminar.
Tuesday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats, 966-8400, or go on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about tax and how to get the right tax professional on your team at this time of the season. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.